Honored to be able to be with you tonight and to come and share with what the Lord has laid upon our heart to bring you tonight. When Brother Strode had called me and asked me to come, I had not much more than hung up the phone that the Lord, I called out to him and said, Lord, what do I need to do and come and preach? And it was just a still small voice that just came on upon me, and this is what he said. He said, just put it in my hands. And tonight, that's what I want to convey to the church, is just put this in the Lord's hands. If we would all just put it in the Lord's hands, I believe that we would find that God has already directed the way that it should go. Even in this message tonight, whatever we do in life, if we would just put it in the Lord's hands. There's one verse of scripture that came to me from Isaiah chapter 59 and verse 1. And most of the time, actually the first few verses that I'm going to read tonight are read in a lot of revivals, you see, and for people to get saved. But when I began to meditate and pray upon this verse came to me. It says, behold, it says, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is his ear heavy that it cannot hear. And so tonight, I want to try in my weak way to present some scriptures and things that God has laid upon my heart about putting things in the Lord's hands, and including calling the pastor for this church. I believe it's very important that we put it in his hands, and not only put it in his hands, but Isaiah said that the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, and it says neither is his ear heavy that he cannot hear. I believe God is very attentive to what we need to say. And when I thought about this, the next thought that came to me was a song that Brother Jeff Moran had written. And in that song, and I guess what I want to establish tonight, is that the hand of the Lord is truly as strong as it's ever been. And if we'll just trust him and put it in his hands, that he will guide us in the way that we need to go. In that song that Jeff Moran wrote, It says, you can feel the wind blow, but there's no one who knows where it is going. Sometimes it's a breeze gently steering the trees as it's blowing. That's just how it feels when the spirit within starts to flowing. Like the wind, it's a warm, gentle touch from the hand of the Lord. He said in the second stanza, it says, there are times we all know when there's nowhere to go but to Jesus. Though the tempest may blow, he promised he won't ever leave us. At the end of the road, he will carry the load for the weakest, saying, listen to me, stand still and see the hand of the Lord. The chorus says, the hand of the Lord has the strength to move mountains. Now, I want you to meditate on this. We're not talking about someone that's weak. We're talking about God that has the ability and showed the ability that he can still move mountains. He can move every obstacle out of our way if we'll just trust him to do that. It says he forges rivers and valleys, and he makes the ocean run dry. But it says, but the very same hand holds the sparrow that's falling. What a blessing to know that wherever we go, his hand is holding mine. And I want him to hold mine right now. When I get ready to preach, and every time that I stand up to deliver a message, I feel the awesome responsibility to convey what God has laid upon my heart. You know, in the Bible, it tells us in the 10th chapter of the book of John, a very familiar reading lesson. But what I want to do first, if I want to establish the fact that Jesus' hands and God's hands are very strong and his ears are wide open, if we'll just talk to him. And a lot of times we'll talk to him, but we don't listen or meditate on what he has to tell us back. So before that we get too far into this message tonight, I want you to notice what Jesus said in the 10th chapter of the book of John. In John chapter 10, in verse 19, it says, there was a division, therefore, again, unto the Jews for these sayings. And many of them said, he hath a devil and is mad. Why hear ye him? And it says, others said, these are not the words of him that hath a devil. Can the devil open the eyes of the blind? And that's what I really want to convey to the church. And one of the things is that if we'll just put it in the hands of the Lord, that he would open our eyes, he'll open our ears, and he'll let us know exactly what we need to do. In order to convey that message, Jesus went on to say, as he got up on the porch, he said he went to Jerusalem. He said it was the feast of the dedication, and it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple of Solomon's porch, and he said, then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, how long dost thou make us to doubt? It says, if thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Now, one thing you're going to know about me over the years is I try to be just as plain and as simple and tell you exactly what God has laid upon my heart for all of us to benefit from the Word of God. Jesus answered and said, I told you, he said, and ye believe not. He said, the works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. He said, but ye believe not because ye are not my sheep, as I said unto you. And listen to this next verse because it's very important. He said, my sheep know my voice. And he said, and I know them and they follow me. And then he went on to say, and I give them eternal life. And he says, and they shall never perish. He said, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Now, Jesus said, nobody can pluck a soul out of my hand. But you know what? He didn't leave it just there. He said that his hand is so strong that he can hold our soul in his hand. And he said, there's nobody that can pluck that out of my hand. He said, because I am strong. You remember, he can move mountains. He can forge rivers and valleys. And he can cause the ocean to run dry. And I'll tell you, this is just a simple thing for him. But you know what? It's very complex in knowing what God wants us to do. And I'll have more to say about that in a moment. But you see, Jesus claims here that no man can pluck them out of my hand. And then this is how he tells us that he can do that. He said, my Father, he says, which gave them me is greater than all. And I still believe that, don't y'all? I believe that God is greater than all and still all powerful and almighty and is able to do great things and exceed all of our expectations if we'll just let him. That's the key. What did he say? He said, my Father, which gave them me is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. So neither can they be plucked out of the Jesus' hand. He said they can't even be plucked out of my Father's hands. And now he says, you know why I know this? He said, because I and my Father are one. I'll tell you, when we come together as one and we come in the center of God's will and what he wants us to do, and in the center of the Holy Spirit and Jesus Christ himself, I'll tell you, he'll make it vividly clear what direction we need to go in. And so as we get ready to finish up and go deeper into this message, one of the things I want to establish is the reasons why that we might not put it in God's hands. Why is some of the times that it is that we want to do what we think is right or what we think that the Lord wants us to do? Let me tell you, if you're walking close with the Lord, hand in hand with him, and you're praying daily and wanting to do what God wants, even though it may be not what we want, but he says if we'll do what he wants, then it will work out. And you know what? When it works out, it's to God's honor and glory. It's not to the man. It's not to the church. We come together to worship God in spirit and in truth. And when we hold on to his hands, the Bible says that he will never, ever pluck us out of his hand, nor will he allow anyone else to do that. You see, because I believe in the security of the believer wholeheartedly as a missionary Baptist preacher and someone that is truly saved by God's grace, I understand that. And there's one thing else I understand. I understand that none of us can walk, none of us can talk, none of us can breathe, none of us will be able to wake up in the morning unless the Lord allows that to happen. And you know why he allows it to happen? Because we're in his hand. We're in the hand of the Lord. You know, Jeremiah said in the 17th chapter of the book of Jeremiah, as we look into some of the reasons why that maybe we just don't seem to be getting through or doing what God wants us to do. And so this is what Jeremiah said in the 17th chapter of the book of Jeremiah and verse 5. First of all, he said, thus saith the Lord, He said, thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man. You see, that's where we kind that's where we realize when we're not putting it in the hands of the Lord, because we're putting our trust in a man. But you know what he said? Jeremiah said, cursed is the man that trusteth in man. I'll tell you, church, Fairview Church and every church that I've ever been in, if we go to trusting in the man, what's going to happen is we're going to find ourselves falling on our face, and we're going to find ourselves not accomplishing the things that he wants to accomplish. And so what do we need to do? We need to put our trust in the Lord. That's what we need to do. And he said, cursed is the man that trusteth in man. He said, and maketh flesh his arm, whose heart departeth from the Lord. You say, Brother Spurgeon, is it possible that we can drift away from the Lord? Absolutely, it's possible. And it happens even when we're not expecting it, or we're not knowing when it's happening. And a lot of times it's because we're not focused on the right things that God wants for each other, for our families, for our church, and even for our personal walk with Jesus Christ. It's so important that we understand that we put it in the hands of the Lord and not trust in man. Listen to what else he said. It says, for he shall be like the heath in the desert. That word there means destitute or dried up. And you see, that's what we're seeing a lot in a lot of churches. People are drying up. You know why? One of the reasons are is because we're not trusting that God will take us on to the next generation or the next event or the next service. And you know what? That's really all we have, is one service at a time. And we need to do all our parts to make sure that we're in the hands of the Lord and his directions. I like that song, and you'll have to pray for me, continue praying for me, but I like that song, He'll Hold My Hand. Don't you like that song? I love that song. I love that song because I know that I can't even walk, one songwriter said. He said, I can't even walk without him holding my hand. And tonight I want to impress upon every one of us. And the best way to find out whether or not we're holding onto his hands a lot of times is to get down on our knees and ask him earnestly and humbly, Lord, what would you have me to do? What direction would you have us to go? We don't want our own intellect to get in the way. We don't want all these other things, trusting in man, getting in our ways. We want to get in your way and do it your way and in your time and in the way that you have laid it out for us to do. And I believe with all of my heart that God has laid it out just like he wants. And I'll close in a little while with a verse of scripture that he laid upon my heart just a moment ago. But before we do, listen to some of the issues as to why we as human beings, that's the problem. Did you know that? We are human beings. And what is a human being? The Bible says we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And because we are sinners, a lot of times we'll let our human nature rule over what God and his Spirit wants us to do. And so I want to encourage all of us not to do that, because it says, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord and whose hope is the Lord is. That's what he says. Jeremiah just didn't say, well, don't trust in man and go about and do your own thing. But he even gives us the advice of what we need, and that is the trust in the Lord. One writer said in the book of Proverbs, in Proverbs 3 and 5, he says, trust in the Lord and lean not into thine own understanding. If you really want to hang on to the Lord and you want the Lord to hang on to you, what you're going to have to do is trust in him and not lean into your own understanding. He said, for when we trust in the Lord, he said, it's like a tree planted by the waters that spreadeth out her roots by the heat when the heat cometh. But her leaves shall be green and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. And so I want to go over and look at a psalm just a moment, and a verse of scripture that keeps coming to me. And I don't even know if I can find it, but I'll look and see if I can find that verse of scripture that God has placed upon my heart. I didn't think he would, and now he is. And now I don't even know if I have it marked, but one thing I can can say is that, you know, when we get to a point where we realize that the Lord, you know, He is not only holding our hand, but He says that person that's walking upright and doing what God would have for him to do, He says that He will hold on to that man's hand. And He says, not only will I hold on to it, but He said there will be times when you're going to slip. And when you slip, He says, you shall not utterly be cast down. You know why? He says, because my right hand holdeth them and picks them right back up. And so that's what we need to do. We need to really think about what God has in store for us and what He wants us to do, and that He will hold on to us and provide the things that we need to make it through another day, another service, and all the things that God wants us to do. You see, another problem I see is that a lot of times when man trusts in man, what happens, we start looking on the outward appearance of people or the status of them. And maybe you've already heard all these other preachers that have come to preach, and maybe they've preached the same things, but whether they have or whether they haven't, what I can tell you is that this is what God wants me to tell you tonight. But I also want you to understand that there was a time when Saul, the king of Israel, was not doing as he was supposed to be doing, and God, you know what He did? He intervened. I'll tell you, when God intervenes, you're going to know it. And when He intervenes, He will place His hand upon it, and a lot of times He'll put pressure on us. You see, if you really belong to Him, He's going to put the right pressure on and get us right where we need to be. And so, one time when the king of Israel didn't do what was right in the sight of God, that God selected another man to take his place. Well, you know, in the book of Samuel, in the book of Samuel, it tells us in the 16th chapter, and we're going to turn over there, and we're going to see that the Lord said to Samuel in the 16th chapter in verse 1, "How long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel?" He said, "Fill thine horn with oil and go, and I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons." And he said, and Samuel said, "How can I go? If I go, you know what? Saul, he's going to hear about it, and he says he will kill me." I'll tell you, working in the Lord's work and knowing that you're in the hand of the Lord doesn't give any of us an excuse not to do what He wants us to do when He says to do it, no matter what we fear about men, no matter what we fear about what they might say or what this one might say. We have to follow the Lord. And when we do, it will accomplish what He sets it out to do. Samuel said, if I go, Saul's going to hear about it, and he's going to kill me. You see? And it said, and the Lord said, "Take an heifer with thee, and I say, I am come to sacrifice for the Lord." And He says, "And call Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show thee what thou shalt do. Thou shalt anoint him to whom I name unto thee." And Samuel did that which the Lord spake, and came to Bethlehem, and the elders of the town trembled at his coming and said, "Comest thou peaceably?" I come peaceably tonight. I don't come to tell you what to do, what not to do, but what I can say is if we'll trust in the Lord, if we'll lean and put it all in His hands, that He will take care of it. And it may not be exactly what we want, but I'll guarantee you it's what is needed for you as a church to advance, for lost souls to be saved, for this community and everything else. What we have to do is put it in the Lord's hands. That's what Samuel had to do when he put it in the Lord's hands. He was sent there, and Jesse, he came, and they offered the sacrifice. And when they came, he said, "I come peaceably. I come to sacrifice unto the Lord, and sanctify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice." And he sanctified Jesse and his sons and called them to the sacrifice. And it came to pass when they were come that he looked on Eliab and said, "Surely the Lord's anointed is before him." And you see, you'll have one pass through, you'll have another one pass through, and surely because he's the eldest of the bunch, surely he's the one that should be, whether it's the anointed to be king or whether it's to be the pastor or what have you. But you know what? Listen to what it says here. Then it says that when they looked on Eliab, it said, "Surely the Lord's anointed is before him. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. He said, for the Lord seeth not as man seeth. Did you hear that? We do not see as the Lord sees. That's why it is very imperative that we have a vision of where we need to go. You know why? Because Solomon said, where there is no vision, the people perish. And now, if we don't get a good look at that, I'll tell you, that ought to be something that would motivate us to make sure we're making the right decisions that God wants us to make. Now listen, he said that God doesn't look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. He says, after he said that, then Jesse called Abinadab and made him to pass before Samuel. And he said, neither hath the Lord chosen this. Then Jesse made Shammah to pass by. And he said, neither hath the Lord chosen this. So here we go. There's three of them that's already come in, went by. But you know what? The Lord, he talked to Samuel. You see, his hand was not short that he couldn't reach Samuel. His ears were not to the stopped up to where he couldn't hear Samuel. And Samuel, because he was in the right mind and because he was of the right ability to talk and commune with God, he heard the voice. And he says, Jesse made seven of his sons to pass before Samuel. And Samuel said unto Jesse, the Lord hath not chosen these. And Samuel said unto Jesse, are here all thy children? And he said, there remaineth yet the youngest. And behold, he keepeth the sheep. I'll tell you, if there was one qualified to be a pastor, it was the one that took care of the sheep, because that's what pastor means. Did you know that? The word pastor means the shepherd of the flock. In this case, is the pastor of the church, is the under-shepherd. You see why? Because the pastor that is truly doing as he's supposed to be doing will depend on the hand of the Lord to lead him, to guide him, to direct him, and to help go in the right direction that he wants this church to go. There was one left, and you know who that was. That was just a little red-headed boy who was pretty handsome, I guess. Evidently, it says he was. But he was just a little shepherd boy by the name of David. A man that knew where his help come from. Because he even said it one time. He said, my help cometh from the Lord that made heaven and earth. You know, God just spoke it into existence, the whole world that we have. And after he spoke it all into existence, you know what he did with his hands? He formed man out of the dust of the ground. And he breathed in him to his nostrils, and that man became a living soul. You see how important it is that we depend on the hands of the Lord. Because it is his hands that created us and molded us. And as we are, as the in the potter's hand, he molds us and yields us. And though there be many mars and many things that will displease him, you know what? He's never really ever destroyed and took us out of the way until he gave ample warning that that was going to happen. And you know what? He always did. And he was faithful to do that. But he said, there's one more. He said, where's he at? And Samuel said unto Jesse, are all the children, are all thy children? He said, there remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come hither. And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and withal of a beautiful countenance and goodly to look on. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. I am confident that if we'll all just call upon God, he will make it very, very clear who it should be. And when he does, act on it. Have faith and trust him that it is what he wants us to do. And if we'll do that, he will bless. He will bless in ways that we can't even imagine. And so when David was that man, and it says, then Samuel took the horn of oil, anointed him in the midst of the brethren. And I like this. It said, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. Now, I've only got one verse of scripture that I want to convey. And let me reiterate, the whole message is putting it in the hands of the Lord, not trusting in what we want, but trusting in God, and not looking about what we think or how it should be, but just put it in the hands of the Lord. That's what he sent me here to say. And then I want to go back to Jeremiah and give you one more verse of scripture, and then I'll be finished. In Jeremiah chapter 3, this is what it says. In Jeremiah chapter 3, a very familiar reading lesson, and if we'll all take it to heart, this one verse of scripture, I believe that the man that God has already selected, and I firmly believe that. I believe God already knows who it is. It's up to us, and I include myself because you asked me to come. It's up to us to search out what God wants that will best benefit Fairview Memorial Missionary Baptist Church. I have a great love for this church. I have a great love for all of you. And I've got a greater love to please my Lord. I do. And I think if we would all have that type of attitude, that God will supply exactly what we need, when we need it, and how we need it. And this is what Jeremiah said to back that up. He said, "And I will give you pastors according to mine heart." This is the Lord speaking. It's not according to my heart or anybody else that's a member here. It's according to the Lord's heart, which shall feed you. And that's very important. It has to be someone that can feed us. But it's also very important that we as a church receive that feeding. And the feeding is not like the Fifth Sunday Fellowship meeting meal. And I love that one. But I'm talking about someone that will come in here and feed you with what? Knowledge and understanding. Lean not, trust in the Lord and lean not to thine own understanding, but what God's understanding is for each and every one of us. That's what the Lord sent me to say, and I appreciate this opportunity. I thought maybe I would say a little bit more about those that are not saved, and one of the things I try to always do is make sure everybody knows, even if you're here tonight, and you know you're not saved, the altar's always open wherever I'm at. And if you felt the need to come and pray, you know what you need to do. You see, this advice works for us that are saved and ones that are not saved. You just need to put your soul in the hands of the Lord. I highly recommend it, because if he can move mountains, if he can forge valleys, if he can stop the ocean to where it runs dry, you say, "Well, Brother Spurgeon, can he do that?" Well, he did it at least one time. He did it for the Jordan River, and he did it for the Red Sea. And when he parted it, they went over on dry ground. Now, I'm telling you, his hands are just as strong as they were back then if we'll just put them, our trust into him. Thank you for listening to us tonight, and God bless you. I'm praying for you. Pray for me. Let's pray for one another. And let's come together and seek God's will, and not our will, but his be done. Thank you for listening. I'm going to turn it back over to Brother Copas. Thank you for letting me come tonight. Thank you for listening, and may God richly bless each and every one of you.